Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, May the 17th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, early voting is underway here in Texas, and of course, this is for the May 24th election. These are the runoffs. In other words, the people who didn't get to 50% or better in the March primary are now in a runoff on Tuesday, May the 24th. So it's, you know, there's a lot of early voting going on. There are two races that are getting the most attention. Of course, the first one is Attorney General Paxton against George P. Bush, who is the grandson of President Bush 41 and the nephew of President Bush 43. So he obviously has a lot of name recognition. And he's on the ballot. He's on the ballot for Attorney General. Attorney General Paxton, who has President Trump's endorsement. And frankly, I think he's done a good job. I think he's done a good job as Attorney General. I have really no complaints against him. Now, the Dallas Morning News came out and endorsed George P. Bush. And the basic argument is that Attorney General Paxton is a time bomb, that he's got scandal problems in his background, and that sooner or later they're all going to explode and they're going to bring down his career. You know, I don't know. I've looked at things. I've tried to prepare for that, and I have not seen that issue. But there's no question that there are allegations against them. These allegations could be totally political. I'm sure you remember Russia. You know, Russia and President Trump, you know, for 3 years, that's all we heard. And it turned out to be completely false. So these things may be nothing more than politically driven accusations and so on. But, you know, George P. Bush is a good candidate, too. No question about it. So my guess is that Paxton is going to win, but we'll see what the margin of victory will be. The story, though, the runoff that is going to have a huge impact on the country. And I've got a post coming out about this Wednesday morning, where I argue that the runoff down in South Texas between incumbent representative Henry Cuellar and the challenger Jennifer Cisneros is not just a runoff between two Democrats, but it's really a runoff for the future of the party. Because obviously you may be familiar with these candidates. Henry Cuellar is sort of a center-right Democrat. And of course, Jessica Cisneros comes from the new left wing of the Democrat Party. I don't have any polling data from that race. It's sometimes very difficult to do polls in that kind of race. But my friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas, we recorded a podcast with him on Saturday. You may want to check it out. He feels that Henry Cuellar is going to pull it out. And I guess you got to give the benefit of the doubt here to Henry Cuellar because he's been there for a long time. He's got a lot of connections. And his views, frankly, on immigration, on abortion, on the Green New Deal and all that kind of stuff, his views are much closer to the views of the more conservative Texas Democrats in South Texas, whereas Jennifer Cisneros, I don't see her views playing that well in South Texas. But it's always about energy. These elections are always about energy. And within the Democrat Party, all the energy is on the left wing of the party. That's where the energy is. That's how Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez became a congresswoman. You know, she was able to energize her voters to go out to vote, and they defeated an incumbent Democrat. And that's how she became a Democrat congresswoman. So energy is what it's all about. And I don't underestimate the energy of Jessica Cisneros. But again, my friend George Rodriguez believes that Cuellar is going to win, and I think that's probably where I'll come down. I think he's going to win. I'll be surprised, frankly, if he loses. But the real question is the future of the Democrat Party in South Texas after that election. Because let's just assume for a second that Mr. Cuellar wins. Well, what happens to Jessica Cisneros' supporters? Are they just going to say, okay, we're going to forgive and forget, and we're going to vote for a man that they feel is completely out of step, you know, on abortion, on immigration, on everything, on the border? So are they just going to say, okay, fine, the election is over, we're going to vote for Henry Cuellar? I am not convinced. Now, some will, because they're going to vote in the general election. But I think if Cuellar wins, He goes into the general elections with a lot of problems in his party. And the main problem is energy and people getting out. A lot of these Cisneros supporters may just decide to stay home. If Cisneros wins, then I think it's pretty clear that that seat is going to flip to the Republicans in November, because I just don't see her views on abortion, on the Green New Deal, on the border. I don't see any of those views, frankly, being very acceptable in a conservative community in South Texas. So it's going to be fascinating. I think that we'll get an idea of the future of the Democrat Party here in Texas after that runoff next Tuesday, the 24th. So we'll try to stay on top of it. We're going to try to do another podcast with George Rodriguez to get the latest on what's going on and get the latest, maybe some of the polling data. Again, it's very difficult to do polls on congressional districts. It's just very difficult to do. Sometimes it's hard to get a sample. But we'll see. We'll talk to George and get his feeling for what's going on there on the ground in this very, very special election, this very runoff, important runoff in South Texas between incumbent Henry Cuellar, and challenger Jessica Cisneros. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But if Cisneros wins, I will go on record today and say that that seat is going to flip. There's going to be a conservative woman, perhaps a conservative Latina, who's going to be running in that district. And if Cisneros wins, I think she's going to come out pulling, you know, flipping that seat in November. I'm pretty confident about that. So early voting began today, and I like to vote early. I have not yet voted early because I had things to do the last couple of days, but I think on Thursday I'll be have a more free time, and I'll drive over to the library and put my vote down to say the least. I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about what many people believe will be a red wave in November, meaning a Republican wave. And that is based on a number of factors. But the most interesting factor is what will happen to the Hispanic vote. In the past, the Hispanic vote, at least 65-70% of the Hispanic vote was pretty much a given for the Democrats. Didn't even have to campaign for it, they would get it. But it's a little different now, as we're seeing in South Texas with so many conservative Latinas, Republicans running, and across the country, Hispanics not so happy with the direction of the Democrat Party. Now, the main issue I write in my post, that the easy explanation for the fact that so many Hispanics are looking to the Republican Party, the easy explanation is to blame it on the economy. Well, there's no question that the state of the economy is killing Hispanics, killing everybody, really. But gasoline prices, food prices, and so on. So it's just killing everybody. Obviously, that's having an impact on the incumbent administration. I think there's something else, too, that is going on. And I'm glad to see that some of these columnists are picking up on it. And that is that there is a growing gap when it comes to cultural issues. There is a growing gap between what I like to refer to as the Party of San Francisco and the more conservative Hispanic population. And it's just getting further. These two groups, Hispanics and the Party of San Francisco, as I like to call them, they're getting far apart. And I think a lot of Hispanics are looking and listening to the Democrat Party and saying, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense to me. Boys playing with girls and competing with girls in college competitions, that doesn't make any sense. Transgenders, or teaching kids in school about transgenders in first grade or second grade, that doesn't make any sense to me. So a lot of these things that, the Party of San Francisco has been pushing on the Democrat Party are starting to turn off the more conservative Hispanics. And I think that's what is really driving the movement to the Republican Party, the economy plus the cultural issues. And that's why I think, I'm pretty sure, that there is going to be a red wave in November. And how big of a wave it is will depend a great deal on some of those Hispanic votes. And, you know, traditionally, as I say, the Democrats get, you know, 65-70% of the vote. So if the Republicans could bring it down to 50, that's going to be huge. In senatorial elections in New Mexico, for example, in Arizona, that's going to be huge. That's going to be a huge factor, certainly in South Texas. That's going to be a huge factor. So that, I think, is the thing to keep an eye on. The red wave, yes, the red wave is coming. But also, how much of that red wave and how much are Hispanics going to contribute to that red wave? I think it's coming. And I think it's going to be pretty significant what it will contribute to the red wave. And if, in fact, Hispanics go Republican in November and you have this change in our politics, then you literally have an entirely new political arena in the United States, completely different from anything that we've seen over the last 40 or 50 years. Just a couple of quick things here to wrap it up. The Buffalo shooting. Look, I get sick and tired of people who always try to politicize these things by talking about racism. Obviously, the man, the young man who shot, apparently, was a racist and he was looking for to kill black people. So obviously, we have to criticize that and come down very hard on that. But what's interesting to me, and nobody seems to be talking about this, is how was this young man able to get a gun when he had a problem, had been looked at by mental authorities, you know, mental health authorities, because apparently when he was in high school, he threatened to kill his classmates. Well, how does a guy like that get out in the street unsupervised and then turns around and walks into a gun shop, buys a gun, and the information about his mental health problems are not part of the background check? I mean, that is a huge failure here in the background checks. And the state of New York, the city of Buffalo, have got to take a very hard look at that, because what really happened here is that a young man who should have never been able to buy a gun bought the gun because his past was not in the background check. So what's the point of background checks if we're not going to have the person's background? I mean, that's why we do these checks. And another thing that is fascinating, but it speaks for the times, it really tells you what's going on in many American universities. Senator Loomis, who is the lady senator from Wyoming, she went to speak at a university. I think it may have been a graduation speech. I'm not exactly sure. But she was giving a speech talking about the future for these students. And she made a point about two genders, you know, male and female. And a bunch of students, a significant number of students in the audience, got up and started booing. And you have to really wonder when you see that, what are we teaching these people in the universities? I mean, what are we teaching them? I mean, there are two genders, male and female, and that's it. There's, you know, anybody else who tells you otherwise, you know, is living in some kind of a crazy fantasy land. And yet this lady was booed for saying something like that on stage. I think that, you know, as I've said before, we got to take a look at some of these universities. And the best way, frankly, to bring these universities back to sanity is to stop, you know, lending all this money to these students who are often going there and getting absolutely meaningless degrees. And they're getting them because they can finance them with these loans that then they cannot pay because they can never get a decent job with the degrees that they have. I think that's one of the things that I would like us to look at, is what exactly are we offering in these universities, and how can that many students have a problem with saying or believing that there are two genders? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. I don't know what else to say. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.